to the Indian Newslink podcast.
Good afternoon, Simon. We have Simon Bridges, the Chief Executive of Auckland Business Chamber, and a longtime friend and a very popular personality in New Zealand and overseas, a man with great passion to improve trade ties and bilateral ties with India. And he has very energetic ideas and initiatives. So we've had a chance to talk to him earlier. Once again, welcome back, Simon, to our office. And please tell us how the Chamber has been progressing over the last year.
Hey, well, thank you, Venkat, for that very warm welcome. It's great to be with you, my friend. And, you know, things are going really well. I think, pleasingly, the Chamber's had good growth in the last, say, year or so. And, you know, I think what is true is when things are tough for business, the likes of a business association and a Chamber of Commerce become more relevant. And so we've been really focused on our membership, providing value for our members in a raft of ways, with advice, with networking events that are affordable, with benefits, you know, savings, because I think at this time it's pretty tough for members. Yeah, look, things are going, I think, very well, albeit, can I acknowledge, for business, right at the moment. And actually, we've literally in the last week done a business confidence survey. It's a pretty gloomy mood out there.
How does an organization or an institution like the Auckland Business Chamber, how does it relate to businesses during such times of recession and stress?
I think there's multiple things we do. I think one is the advice and the support. Now, that might be mental health programs actually at one end of the thing, or it might be just business advice on how to get your costs in order, how to make sure, you know, you're spending $4 but making $5 in difficult times. But through to, you know, advocacy as well. I think that's quite an important piece. So off the back of this business survey, for example, well, we will be advocating for some things that business wants to see around lower interest rates and inflation, around government policy momentum to provide confidence, those sort of things. And then just, look, actually, amongst it all, networking. We've learned in this environment, fancy events that cost hundreds of dollars, maybe $200-$300, that's not the order of the day. Maybe the champagne corks will pop again at some stage, but at the moment, actually, it's about $10-$20 events where small and medium businesses can come together, network, maybe get ideas, that sort of thing. So, you know, it's advice, it's networking, it's advocacy, and a few other things besides.
Have you seen a rise in the membership rates, number of members coming into the Chamber after you've taken charge?
Yes, I have. I mean, I think it's you know, it's an interesting phenomenon, really. But one of the areas of growth that I think I've said to you before, Venkat, but is in the area of ethnic business, and that stands to reason.
Right.
You know, if you take Auckland as the gateway to the world, it is the capital of commerce, but I think as important as all of that, it's the most multicultural city in New Zealand by a long way. And if I just take our Indian community, look, that's kind of nearly quite, I don't think you will have better numbers than me, but 1 in 10 Aucklanders now, certainly in terms of, you know, new Aucklanders, it's even higher than that.
Right.
And so if you want to be growing more than at a very incremental rate as a business association, you know, you just need to be, what is it, fishing where the fish are, making sure you're relevant within ethnic business communities that we see such growth in Auckland. And I've certainly been doing that, whether it's the Indian community, the Chinese community. Actually, an event coming up is with the Philippines business community, now much smaller than those
growing
first two I
mentioned,
but growing. And one with their effectively Vice Minister of Trade, who is coming to New Zealand to sell the wares, if you like, of the Philippines. So this is a clear strategy of the Chambers, and yeah, I'm pleased to say it's, I wouldn't overstate it, but it is working.
Your role as the Chief Executive, you're apolitical and you work with all governments. Mm. What change in direction have you noticed with the new coalition government that has come in, and how does it influence an organization like the Auckland Business Chamber?
Yeah, well, I think first point to make, Venkat, is you are genuinely right. I think some people look at me and say, oh, come on, you were part of that team for a long time. Can it be? I am apolitical in my role as Chamber of Commerce Chief Executive. Your jacket's the only blue thing I can see right now. And it is very important that I'm working across parties, New Zealand First Act, national,
and you have
within government.
With previous government, yeah.
But of course, and you know, at your events with Chris Hipkins and the Labour Party in opposition, it's important that we have a strong opposition actually that's effective.
Right.
Otherwise, the system of government doesn't work as well. And so it is about, without fear or favour, advocating good policy and good policy positions for business, actually a bit narrower than that, for small and medium-sized businesses. Having said all of that, across these three parties in government, I do think it is fundamentally a pro-business government.
Yeah.
Its disposition is towards business. It wants to do the right thing for business and SMEs particularly. And so that gives me some optimism that they're going to pick up pace. And, you know, for example, very recently we had the Honourable Brooke Van Velden, the Member of Parliament for the area we're sitting in right now, who made a speech around her priorities in employment law. And that was music to our ears. They're the sort of things we push for, and it's good to see her voicing some of the things we'd like to see happen over this term of Parliament. That's one area.
Yeah, we are also, I'll talk to you about it a little later, we are also working with Brooke on ensuring that employers get benefit out of employment law, which is right at the moment tilted very badly towards the other side. Simon, one aspect of the current government's focus has been to engage better with India. Now, for the first time in many years after John Key left, we have a government which says openly that they want to have a better relationship with India in terms of political engagement, economic, commercial, etc. Free trade will come later, but you've got to revive your goodwill. On the one side, you have the government. On the other side, I can only see a good advocate is yourself, and third are some businesses. So we see the chamber, Auckland Chamber, and perhaps the other chambers, as good conduits with whom people like us can work, with whom some businesses can work. So what is your articulation with the Minister of Trade, who is right now so well engaged with India?
Well, look, you know, thank you for your kind comments about me. Look, we try really hard, and I would note, you know, some other associations, I think, are doing some good work, and it is a team effort that's required. You know, you mentioned Honourable Todd McClay, Minister of Trade. I mean, he gets text messages from me. Don't anyone OIA them, please. But, you know, I'm constantly on to him about things that we should be doing. And actually, there's a mutual interest there. Obviously, I know Todd very well from our previous careers. But more than that, actually, it's a professional relationship, because he said he wants to do the most trade missions, business delegations ever. And have we got a deal for him? Look at the chamber. Our SMEs want to do that. And, you know, I think we talk about what's in it for SMEs at a level. Look, for them, if you're a small, medium business, what is a safe way that you can educate yourself on a foreign market, maybe even do some deals while you're there? It's with a bigger grouping like the chamber. And so we are definitely getting out. It's not before time, actually. It's too late, if anything. But we will be in the EU, we'll be in ASEAN, we will be in Japan, possibly even Brazil, and I'm sure India this year on business delegations. And, you know, specifically on India, what I would say is, yeah, I've been, you know, a booster for years now. I've seen that the demographics, if you like, and the business trends were all going to go the way they are going. You know, one of the highest growth economies in the world, biggest population, going to be, what is it, you know better than me, but third by 2030 or similar. So it all works for India, first and foremost, but for the world as well. That said, I mean, I think we need some realism. We know that as you say, the Indian government has pretty clear positions on these things. Trade has to work very well for them. It has to be deeply reciprocal, and good things take time. So I think what I would say, you know this, everyone in this room around us knows this, but I think it starts at, and it's a bit twee, but it happens to be because it's true, at the relationship level and the business level. And I think the likes of a chamber can play a very significant role in that. I would say that, but I do think that, because I think we can take many businesses there to meet, to greet, to form relationships, and ultimately actually to do deals that work for both sides. That will grow the relationship required, I think, prior to us getting a trade agreement.
To us, it occurs that there's a lot that can be done by one side, organizations like the Auckland Business Chamber, or on the other side, the businesses, because they understand the country better.
Yeah.
They have their presence in India. They understand the country, its practices, etc. Don't you think the chamber should work with the businesses and also become a good advocate for the government?
Definitely. I mean, that is, I think, a core function for us. And I agree. I mean, if you take a business, whether it's a small technology firm in a niche area that's looking to do something with maybe a much larger Indian business, whether it's immigration, whether it's education, whether it's, you know, 15 other things besides, there's nothing quite like having your own skin in the game. That is your own money on the line. You're the one who has to pay for the trip over there. You're the one who has to put yourself up the hotels. You're the one whose time is being spent on this. So I think, you know, much more, and I don't mean to be mean to my former colleagues, but much more than the political class or government, or those who are paid for by government, it's businesses that will lead the way. But I suppose what I'm saying to you, Venkat, is properly thought through business associations like our own have a very real role to play. Because what we can do that a particular business possibly can't is we can agglomerate, we can get them together, we can group them and provide an overarching strategy around some of those. Someone once said to me, and I probably said this to you before, but something along the lines about India, you know, if you do anything approaching scattergun, you'll fail every time, right? It's so many states, frankly, so many different countries at a level, all under one flag, so many different kinds of businesses and cultures and like. So you need to focus probably on one region and one area of business you want to really hone in on. And as I say, the likes of a business association like the chamber can help with that.
We are told that looking at the what's happening in India at the moment, India goes to polls from April 19th till the 1st of June. It's quite a lengthy process. 968 million people will be voting. So after that, where the what the current government is saying, that if we return, which appears to be quite certain now at this stage, that they would revamp quite a few things. Internally, of course, they will look at a new education policy, what they call UCC, the Universal Civil Code, etc. But in foreign relations, and especially to promote business, I think there will be a special focus, because as you said, by 2030 they want to reach $5 trillion and become the third largest economy in the world after USA and China. So in this process, I think New Zealand has an opportunity to get onto the bus and not lose it like we have missed many times in the past. From that point of view, Simon, you're not only a very focused person, you also bring with you enormous political experience, which has been very well honed over the years with the business acumen. So I believe that it will be people like you who should take a lot more interest and prepare this side of the equation, that is New Zealand, to engage more constructively with India, along with the businesses that are keen to do business. We would like to help you in that process.
Thank you.
Because this is what Todd keeps telling us. He says, they've got the vision, And they've got the mandate from the government, but they need others to lead them with them, go along with them. So what are the priorities for the Auckland Business Chamber at the moment? Oh, and of course, you mentioned about improving relation membership, and secondly, promoting businesses at this difficult hour. What else would you do to promote their well-being at this point of time?
Oh, there's plenty of things we're doing. And I'll come back to that. I just want to say, you know, your bus analogy, I think, is a good one. You know, we want to get on the bus, but you and I both know what's required to get on the bus, and that's some running, because the bus is a big bus that's moving fast. That's
we
very
should go
dynamic.
Without luggage.
And exactly, if we need to drop the luggage to get on the bus, you know, maybe we have to. I'm probably keeping the metaphor going too far, but you take my point. You know, we have to be more motivated than India, frankly, is, and that requires a team effort of government, of business, but actually civil society, including the likes of business associations. I mean, for the chamber, I could bore you to tears with the many things we are doing. We're in a growth phase, that's pleasing. The strategy really is at this time to not be offering things that are overly expensive to our strong membership. We want to have things that are tailored to them where they're at the moment. We cost and cash flow is a tough set of issues. We're growing membership, and we're making sure that we're offering benefits to the membership, like some of the ones I've talked to, but a big focus is on what we call our alliance partnerships. That is, you know, 11 cents a litre off your petrol with Zed. You know, that is a cheaper cell phone and mobile plan with 2 degrees. Right. That is Office Max and all of these things. Because actually, if I can be quite candid about that, that's fantastic for the member. They save, in many cases, thousands a year. It's great for the company in question. They are getting clients and customers they weren't. It's great for us, actually, because we, in a small way, derive revenue for that, which allows us to subsidise the events and our advocacy and write reports on things like India and where it's going, for example. I think one that I should talk to you about, given, you know, quite clearly your focus, is the international piece.
Yep.
We're very focused on that. I personally, as opposed to some of the things we do where I let my very capable managers do it all, take a real focus on that. I was telling you just before this, I have a breakfast coming up very soon with our incoming or outgoing, I should say, High Commissioner India, Patrick Rata. I'm always doing these things because it just seems to me there's something about the Auckland Business Chamber being in Auckland, the international gateway that's multicultural. We've got to be focused on that.
Right.
We do most of New Zealand's export documents. We have most of New Zealand's international business councils. We've got the summits, and we're starting to do much more, as I've already said, in the delegation space, both facilitating delegations here. I've got to say, actually, not a huge number in the Indian space, but a lot from basically everywhere else.
Correct.
In the Indo-Pacific. A bit of India, but not so much. And then us getting out there. So this is a very big focus. I think this is of great value to our businesses, and actually to New Zealand, dare I say it, because as John Key used to say, New Zealand isn't getting rich selling to itself.
True. On that, we have been very India-specific today, Simon, but I suppose as we meet again and again, we can focus on other areas of Chamber's interest like China, European Commission, ASEAN countries, and even the Pacific Island countries. Thank you very much for being with us this afternoon. And as always, we look forward to seeing you again at our office. And it's a pleasure, and thanks.
Such a pleasure to talk to you, Venkat.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Indian NewsLink podcast.